Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
All right. Well, today's lesson is on angelic majesties and the ministry of angels and how they minister the glory. And so if I could have you turn in your notes, your outlines to lesson 12. And also, if you could turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. And while you're doing that, I'd like to feature a couple of items here by James Gall. This is written by James and Michael Ann. This is called Angelic Encounters. It's a great work. It's a lot of study throughout the scriptures on the subject of angels, plus various encounters that people have had in the realm of the angelic. And it's an excellent book. So it's called Angelic Encounters. There's also another one written by written a long time ago called Angels on Assignment. And I believe we have that one on our book table. If not, it's a great one to get from a bookstore or on our online bookstore. Also, James has written this book called The Seer. This is a great tool as well for the seer anointing and how to see into the unseen realm and to see prophetically. So those are some tools that can help enhance your growth and your insight and understanding in the things of the spirit, but especially towards the angelic. Now, in the Bible, you will find many references to angels and their interaction with man. In fact, over 280 references concerning the angelic. So it is a worthwhile subject to look at. And I know that sometimes there's been, people will express their concern about why we would study the subject of angels. They say, you know, you've got to be so careful because if you start studying about angels, you could worship angels. And you can't get your eyes off of Jesus. And although I would say an amen to that, that we don't want to worship angels ever. In fact, they are not to be worshipped. They are actually to serve Jesus and to serve us. They're not to be worshipped. But at the same time, when God unfolds so much or gives us so much information through his word about a subject, then obviously he wants us to know something about it. So we don't have to be afraid to study any subject in the Word of God. It is in the Word for us to discover, and God expects us, out of the hunger in our heart, to be led by the Spirit into the study of the Word so that we can understand, know, and walk in what He has for us. So we're going to look at the subject of angels right now, and of course we want to have it in the proper context. So what I want to start with is to read the entire first chapter of the book of Hebrews, because I think it puts the study of angels in the proper context. Starting in verse 1, Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He's the exact representation of his nature. And we are that in him when we're in Christ. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." So you see, the angels are to worship Jesus. And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. And they will all become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So in that chapter, you see everything in its right perspective, and it's a great chapter for confirming the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is his fully God and fully man, and in his perfection and in his God majesty rules and reigns forever over all things. Amen. And so it's very clear that Jesus is who he is. He is the one to be worshipped. In fact, all the angels worship him. There is none like him. But angels have a place, and it says here exactly what they do, that they are ministers. They are servants. That word minister means servants. And they are here to minister to us. They not only minister to him, they not only worship him, they're here to minister to us who are in Christ, those who are those that will inherit salvation. So you have angels that are assigned to you. They're like your servants. You know, some people have house servants. You know, you have people in your home that work for you, that help you with your chores, or you know, help you keep your home organized or whatever. Well, that's what angels do. They're your servants. They're there to serve you, and they want to be put to work. It's horrible if you have a servant and you don't give them any workload, you know. And we already discovered one of the ways that you can dispatch the angels is by decreeing the word, because they obey the voice of the word of the Lord. And so when you give the voice, they go and obey it. But we'll get into more on how to dispatch them later. And we're going to learn on how to discern the angels so that you can discern them. And we might do a little bit of an activation this morning as well on that. So first of all, let's look at the different types of angels found in the scripture. There's many different types. We're going to look at some of them here. Angels don't have just one kind of appearance. And you won't see them all the same. You'll see them differently because they are different. We already read in Hebrews 1 how there are winds. Sometimes it's like you can actually feel a wind blowing by, and that sometimes in angels, because he makes some winds, he makes some flames of fire. We're going to look at that later too. But in Isaiah 6, we're going to look at the seraphim, which is a type of angelic majesty. So turn to Isaiah 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. Now, most of the time when people think of an angel, they think of a being wearing a white robe and two wings and a halo, right? That's the main way we think of an angel. But we're going to see that there's angelic beings in the glory realm that look very, very strange looking, very different from what we think. These ones happen to have six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we can see here that they actually have a voice to declare the praises of God. So not only can you see them, but there will be times when you can hear them. I've actually heard with audible voice, I've heard the angels singing and declaring praises in heaven. And when I heard it, it was just amazing. I was a brand new Christian, and it was like I had earphones on, and I heard it right loud inside my head. And it was like an orchestration of music, but it was singing. It's hard to explain, but it was so glorious. And since that time, there's oftentimes actually in a worship service, in fact, almost at every one of our conferences, there's a point somewhere in the conference where I can actually hear the angels. It's like in a pitch above the natural. And it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just on a different level. You can kind of hear it or get little glimpses. Every once in a while during the worship, you can hear something break open into that realm, and you can hear the angels. They love to worship and declare the glory of God. They were made for that. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, for your sin is forgiven. And then, of course, he heard, a voice in heaven. And I mentioned yesterday that oftentimes when you're in a third heaven encounter, you will receive a commissioning from the Lord for an assignment that he wants to give you, or an empowerment for a greater level of service. And this is actually what happened with Isaiah in this particular encounter that he had in the third heaven, is that he was actually commissioned for a greater level of service. But what we want to look at here is the ministry of the seraphim. Seraphim actually means, in the Hebrew, it means fiery ones. These seraphim, I believe, are made up of fire. Some angels are made up of fire. I've actually seen that in the spirit, the angels of fire. They are fire. And where there's smoke, there's fire. It says the whole temple was filled with smoke. And I believe it was because of the presence of the fiery ones being there. You'll also notice that they minister with fiery coals. So it's almost as if they were watching over the fiery altar where the coals were, and they were assigned to take the fiery coal and to purge Isaiah's lips. And there have been three glory schools that I have done where the seraphim have shown up as I've been teaching on them, so you never know. And they come, and you can actually smell the fire. When they show up, you can actually smell the fire. And some people will feel the burnings. And so It is possible that between now and the end of the school, they might show up. We have sometimes had them in conferences where you could actually literally smell the fire in the room. And it's not even like a natural fire smell, sort of. It's something a bit different. And we've actually seen the fiery smoke in the room. Sometimes when they've shown up, their smoke is there, just like it says here. And the smoke filled the temple. And we've actually seen that come into meetings when we've had conferences. Those are the seraphim. When that fire is there, when the seraphim are there, this is mainly their ministry, I believe, is a purging work, a refining work, a separating, an empowering for greater service, and a bringing us into the focus of the glory of the Lord that is to fill the earth. And so these are the seraphim. They're six-winged creatures. They're made up of fire. They minister fire. And wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? Okay, now turn to Ezekiel 1. And from Ezekiel 1 all the way through to Ezekiel 10, in these chapters, you will read about the ministry of the cherubim. The cherubim are different creatures again, and their appearance is very, very interesting. They're awesome creatures. I'm not sure if I'd like to see one or not, but they're first mentioned in the book of Genesis because they were told to watch over The area of the tree of life, once man was removed from the presence of God, the garden, they were to watch over it so that it was guarded. And we see throughout the scriptures that these angels guard the glory. They were the ones that ushered in the glory to Israel in Ezekiel, but they were also the ones that removed the glory when Ichabod was called. They came in and they removed the glory. So to me, it looks like they steward the glory. So as we're in a season in the history of the church where God is making his church aware of the glory, I have a sense that we're going to perhaps start seeing these. And I find it really interesting because artists and musicians are very key in history. You'll notice that whenever there's been a change in history, the artists and the musicians will actually paint and prepare the music for the era transition and change. You can go back through history and you can see history's story through the artists and through the musicians, through the songs and through the paintings. And I find it very interesting that right now there are prophetic artists and prophetic musicians being raised up who are telling the story of the glory like in no other time in church history. There are so many pieces of art out now on the cherubim and the different, you know, like the New Jerusalem and all that kind of thing, the glory of heaven. You can get artwork all over the place. It's just emerging all over the place. And God is releasing that so that we have evidence within history of what he is breaking forth with. And so many artists can see it in their spirit, or they'll take it from the word because they've perceived it in their understanding through seeing the word, and their spirits have been open to it, and they paint what they see. And so there's a lot of paintings on these creatures that are coming forth just now over the last number of years. But let's take a look at what they look like, starting in verse 4 of Ezekiel 1. As I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it. And in its midst, something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. Whoa. Within it, there were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Now see, this is explained with so much detail. Each of them had four faces and four wings. So again, this is not your normal looking angel, you know. Four faces. You know, you've got a round head. Can imagine what you'd look like with a face here, a face here, a face here, and a face there. So they had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight and their feet were like a calf's hoof. That's interesting also. Again, it's not like your normal looking angel that you have in the, maybe in your mind what you think an angel looks like. And they gleamed like burnished bronze. And under their wings on their four sides were human hands. So it looks like on all four sides of them, so let's say the front, the back, and each side, they had four sides. On each one there was a wing. So there'd be a wing out in front of them, a wing out behind, and a wing on each side. And under the wings were these hands. Isn't this absolutely astounding? Don't you just love the Word of God? Oh, wow. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each one went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right, the face of a bull or an ox on the left, and all four had the face of an eagle, obviously on the back. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies, and each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go without turning as they went. So they were like in a square formation by the sounds of it. And when they go, like they go this way. And when the, you know, when it was time to turn, they wouldn't turn like this. They would, you know, go like this, like this, like this. They'd always go in straight movements like that together as one, unity. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright and lightning was flashing from the fire. Now, I've oftentimes seen, especially in this last 2 or 3 years, lightnings, and it's accelerating. How many of you have seen flashes of light and all of a sudden you say, what was that? It might have been out of your peripheral vision or even in your visible vision, sometimes different colors and things like that. How many of you have seen that? Those are angels. It's the light that's emanating from them, but sometimes you'll just see the flash of it. We had an angel show up in our kitchen a number of months back when we had our plunge students. They came over, they were all excited, they were talking about an experience they had had, and so they were in the kitchen sharing, and all of a sudden, this big, huge lightning flash came into the kitchen, and then another one, and then another one. And the Lord told us that that was an angel that was present whose name was Flash. Not Flash Gordon, but Flash Angel. And he said that this angel is now with your ministry. And even as I'd given you the angel Swift years ago to accelerate my purposes in your ministry, I've added this one named Flash, and things will happen like in a flash. And it's happened ever since that angel showed up. But we actually saw the flash. Sometimes in a meeting, I'll see a flash of blue light or sometimes a flash of purple light. And I know that they're angels. I know that they're angels. But you just see the flash of them. Well, this is what was happening here, is that there's all these flashes coming off of the angels. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Angels are very fast. They're very fast. Now, as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings. For each of the four of them, the appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl. And all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another wheel. That's so that they could go in any direction. They all intersected their wheels. Whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. As for their rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. Isn't this like out of this world? I mean, this is like beyond science fiction, you know. This is like this is like the real meal deal here. Okay, whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever those rose from the earth, the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. You know, I have read this scripture in class many times, but I've never felt the weight of the glory like I do right now. I can actually feel the tangibility of these beings present with us right now. I've never quite felt it like this before. Whoa. Now, over the heads of the living beings, there was, like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads. Crystals are showing up quite a bit right now in gemstones and that, like crystals. How? Sometimes different colored crystals, sometimes clear. I got a crystal myself, a clear one. And I think it does have something to do with this. It's tied in. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward the other. Each one also had two wings covering its body, and the one side on the one side and on the other. I also heard the sounds of their wings, like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings, and there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now, above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne. So what you're seeing here is like an open open heaven. They've got the heaven open over them. They're connected to the glory of heaven. And on that which resembled a throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it, and from the appearance of his loins and downward. And I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance about him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds of a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. So these cherubim, I believe, are sent by God to introduce the church to the glory realms of heaven. They are stewarding the glory, and they will usher in the glory. I believe that these are the cherubim that are being used today to release the body into the awareness of the glory and the open heaven. Whoa. And so God uses them to minister to us in that way that we might know the glory. Then we have the living creature, or the Zoa. And turn to Revelation 4. These are similar in some ways to the cherubim, but different. But I just find it fascinating, all these different creatures that are in heaven. Revelation 4, and we'll start with verse 5. It says, out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. So these living creatures are full of eyes. Eyes in front and eyes in the back. A lot of mothers have eyes in the back of their heads. The first creature was like a lion. Now, the whole creature looked like a lion. Wow, I have recently, in the last couple of years, started to see the lion angels. We know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, but there's also angels that are in the form of lions. Every angel that God has created carries a lot of glory. Angels have been standing in the presence of the Lord for thousands of years. They're created beings, but they've been standing in the presence of the Lord for thousands of years. You know, Moses stood in the presence of the Lord for a number of days. He had so much glory on him that they couldn't look at. So imagine angels. They carry a lot of glory. So like a lion angel, it carries the nature of that aspect of Jesus. It was created in him, that certain dimension of the likeness of Christ. Every angel carries a different assignment, is made up for a different purpose, but the lions, they carry the authority. They minister authority. That's what the line of the tribe of Judah is, a sign of the Lord's rule. And so the lion angels, they carry a lot of glory in the area of authority, and they are in the earth right now. They have been dispatched for the body, and there are lion angels, that are ministering. In fact, sometimes when you talk about a certain type of angel, you can feel them show up, and I just actually felt that happen just now. Did anyone else feel that? They just kind of showed up in here. So, okay, so the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature was like a calf or an ox. Now, the ox nature of Jesus Christ is his apostolic nature. It's his servant role, but it's his apostolic nature. An ox plows the ground. I remember a number of years ago, we were preparing for a conference. Because we're primarily a prophetic ministry, God will give us words, because he does nothing except he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. So you'll always have a prophetic season before the birthing of that comes into the earth. So before the apostolic focus was getting really strong, he had called us to prophesy concerning the coming of a real apostolic company that he was raising up. And so we did a conference called Apostolic Oil to prophesy that word. And as we were in the conference room praying for that conference, I all of a sudden went into this spiritual experience where I felt like I was an ox. I felt like I had become an ox. And I got down on my hands and knees because the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. It was similar to like a trance, but I felt like I was an ox. I got down on my hands and knees, and I felt no longer like I was a person. I felt like I was an ox. And I knew that I had to plow the field for my master. I knew that in my spirit. And so on my hands and knees, I was plowing. I felt I could even feel like a big plow behind me, and I could feel really hardened soil, real hard ground. And I could feel the tension on my shoulders of trying to pull the plow. And then I started hearing inaudible sounds in this spiritual encounter, people laughing, saying, "Look at that ugly ox. Look at that stupid, old, dirty, dusty old ox. Look how stupid it is. Look how awkward it is." And they were kicking me. I could feel the kicking of the feet against my side. And I remember thinking, well, of course I'm dirty and dusty because I'm plowing a field. You know, of course, but I have to do it for my master. And they kept mocking and mocking and kicking and laughing and not understanding what I was doing. And I kept thinking, I've got to do this for my master no matter what. I've got to plow this field. It got harder and harder. I crawled on my hands and knees all the way around the church and up the aisle and everything, and just following the spirit. And I could feel it getting harder and harder. And I got to a point where I didn't know if I could go any further. And I started saying, oh, I've got to have strength because I've got to finish the course for my master. And I looked up and I saw the foot of the cross. I thought, if I could just make it there. And I just kept pushing and pushing and going. And I finally felt my head, physically, I felt my head against blood-soaked wood. And I looked up, I could smell the smell of blood, and I collapsed and I cried. I thought, I made it. Is this a destination? Is the cross? And when I came out of that vision, I felt the Lord say, this is the apostolic nature of my son. And what you just walked through is what my son walked through. No one understood who he was. No one understood what he was doing. No one understood his assignment. And he said, you also will experience the same thing. You will walk in and experience the same thing. But this is the apostolic nature of my son that you've just experienced. And that's when I understood the true apostolic. That's why I have a little bit of a problem when I hear some of the explanations of what an apostle is. Because I know what an apostle is. I felt his heart. I felt the chief apostle's heart. And it's like groundbreaking and laying his life down for the vision and willing to plow that new territory no matter what it takes and to get that ground prepared for the building of the kingdom. And it's like, I know the heart of a true apostle. It's not about position. It's not about being bishop so-and-so or whatever. It's not about that. It's like much deeper than that. That is the heart of the true apostle. That is the heart of Jesus. And there are angels that carry that nature. In fact, I believe the ox angels are with true apostles today to give them the courage and the strength and the grace to continue in the midst of hardship. And I believe that primarily that's what these angels minister. And the third creature had the face like that of a man. And the fourth creature was a flying eagle. And I've seen the eagle angels, and there's all different kinds of them. And the very first time I actually saw the eagle angels, the first ones had white heads. And the Lord showed me, if you read Revelation 1 and the appearance of Jesus, his hair is white His hair is white, and the Lord showed me that that was his eagle nature in there. It's like the bald-headed eagle is with the white head. The first angels I saw in the form of eagles had these white heads, and they were lined all up around a conference and looking down. And it was for our nation in Canada when God was loosing the prophets into the nation. And ever since that time, there's been more. But he dispatched these angels, these eagles, to help our prophets get released. And around that time, there's unusual amounts of eagles in the natural being released too. There are sightings of all these kind of different eagles. And it was around the same time that I saw these eagle angels. So sometimes you'll see signs in the natural that parallel what's going on in the spirit. And they're literally signs that we can see what God is doing in the earth. And then the second type of eagle that I saw was like a golden eagle, I guess. It was brown. It flew into my living room. And we were hosting a conference that was to start the very next day called Angels and Their Assignments. And so it was a seminar on it, and we were doing some teaching on it. We had guest speakers come in. But the night before, we had out-of-town guests staying at our home because they'd come in for the seminar. So we were just having some fellowship in the living room. And all of a sudden, this brown eagle angel shows up, flies through the living room, through our dining room, and into the kitchen. And it had gold, bright gold, like 24-karat gold around its neck and on its wingtips. And I thought, wow. Did you guys see that? No one else in the room saw it. I couldn't believe it because it was so real, and I could feel its movement and everything. And I didn't know what the name of that eagle was or what it was there for. I just knew it was an angelic creature. I didn't understand what it was there, because sometimes you'll see things and then you have to inquire after, what was that, you know? So the next day, we went into the conference, and while we were in worship, I had this visitation that was so dramatic. I felt the winds and everything, and that same eagle came and picked me up, and I was on its wings, and I was holding on to it, and it was flying me into different nations of the world. I mean, we were still in the room, but in the spirit, I wasn't there anymore. I was on this eagle and flying all over the world into different places, and it was going so fast, I could hardly see what was happening. And when it came back into the room and I came out of the vision, the Holy Spirit said to me, the angel's name is Swift, and it is now being assigned to you and to your ministry. And you will see an acceleration of everything I've called you to do. Well, that was an understatement from that point on. Ever since that angel showed up, you know, it was like our whole ministry changed after that point. But then the Lord confirmed it, because the day after the conference, I was going down into our basement, and we had outside stairs going into the basement, and all over every single stair, it was covered with brown feathers. Yeah. Then I went into my office, and I had a desk and a seat, and all around the seat on the floor, all around, like in a perfect circle, were brown feathers. There's no possible way that those feathers could have gone. Then my husband and I left the next day to go on a ministry trip, and we were driving down into Washington from Canada, and I'd never seen these trucks before until that time, and I don't know if they were just not highlighted, but there they were, Swift trucks. Swift, they're called Swift Transport. And Swift Transport trucks were passing us on every road we went on. Now, that's a miracle in itself, to pass my husband's driving. You know, that is like, in our children's book, we have a chariot driver, and we made Ron the character. Like, as far as the illustration, it's just a little joke, and we called him Speed. And, you know, that just says something about my husband's driving. But all these Swift Transport trucks were passing us, and it was another confirmation. Sometimes God will use the natural to confirm, just like when our team went into Rob Hodgkin and Samuel Robinson were traveling back from a conference in Tucson, and they stopped about 30 miles away from our turnoff to get gas. When they came out of there, they were immediately beyond our turnoff at Ray Road here. So they traveled over 30 miles in like a second of time. And they were kind of shattered, saying, oh my gosh, because they'd seen a flash. This was right after the angel flash showed up too. It was just like a week later. And they both saw a flash out of their peripheral vision on each side of the car. And then all of a sudden they were past the exit. And so they thought, could this possibly be like, were we just transported? You know, like, whoa, oh God, give us a confirmation. And all of a sudden a truck comes in front of them, and on the back it's sign said Covenant Transport. That was the name of it. Sometimes God will give natural signs like that to confirm a spiritual encounter. Back to the eagles. Our next eagle that we saw was pure white, a pure white eagle. Its name is Purity, and it showed up a couple of years ago. And the Lord showed us that there was going to be an exposing of sin in the body of Christ. Some sifting and some analyzing. And oh my gosh, ever since that angel showed up, we actually knew ministries and everything that almost at the very time, like moments after that angel showed up, things started to surface, things got exposed, things that were hidden came into the light, and it was like bang, 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 ministers all over the body of Christ. And we had sent out the warning of it too. We said, you know, this angel has come with this message. It's time to expose, sift, and to analyze. And so it's a time for hearts to be aligned with the purposes of God. And then the next eagle that we saw, we were over in Taiwan, and it was an eagle, angel of harvest. And it was like an eagle, but on its wings, instead of like feathers, it was wheat chaffs. And our artist has actually painted those two eagles, Purity and the angel of harvest, for us as we explained to her what they looked like. So anyways, these are like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, they had six wings and full of eyes. So you can imagine like a lion flying around with six wings, full of eyes, around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created. See how all the glory and all the focus goes back to him? And when the angels release their worship, then the elders release theirs. I had an email just the other day asking me, who are those elders? I don't know. I honestly don't know. They're just elders. I don't know. Some people, you know, think they have something to do with the apostles and some, you know, special people from the tribes of Israel. And that, I honestly don't know. But some things you don't need to know until you need to know. Okay. But there are 24 elders around the throne. Okay. Let's go on. Spirit horses. In fact, we're going to have to move faster. So you might have to look at some of these references yourself, because I'm taking a little bit too much time on it. But it was fun. Okay. Spirit horses. There are horses in heaven. There are angelic horses. We've actually had the horses come into meetings at times, and we've actually heard their hoofs and everything. There's white horses and speckled horses and all different kinds of golden horses. There's all kinds of different horses. And the Bible also speaks of chariot drivers and chariots. And so I've actually been on a chariot ride and felt the chariot. And I've known the chariot drivers, the angelic chariot drivers, they're angels. And then there's archangels, who are the chief priests. They are overseeing other angels. So we know that Michael is an archangel, and Gabriel is an archangel. Lucifer used to also be an archangel. In the book of Enoch, which isn't in the canon of scripture, but in the book of Enoch, it talks about two other archangels. So I don't exactly know how many in total there are, but we know the Bible gives reference definitely to Lucifer, who was an archangel. He fell, and we know for sure that there's two left. Michael, who many believe that he oversees warfare, and Israel. And then we have Gabriel, who it appears like Gabriel's always around with his special messages. Gabriel seems to carry the weighty messages, and so is probably overseeing communication and that. So, and some people say that Gabriel oversees the Gentiles. I'm not sure about that. And for me, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if Michael shows up with his entourage, that would be awesome. Some prophet recently has seen Michael place his feet on North America. And so I don't know if I'm thrilled about that or not, because if he's the archangel over war, then it'll be interesting to see. But he's a good one to have on your soil if there's going to be any war. Okay. We know for sure that he contends for Israel. That's awesome. Then we have common angels. I just call them common angels. That's not a biblical term for them. But the Bible does talk about how angels encamp around the righteous. It talks about they're with children. And you see different appearances of angels in the scriptures and talk about them, that they're not in any position, or they're not described necessarily, but they're there. So I just call them common angels. Okay, but I believe that every angel is created to minister in a certain way. So we know that there's a spirit. Wherever you see spirit in the Bible, it could possibly equate to an angel. Even like, again, the angels are created by God to represent a certain part of his character. So there are angels of grace. Why? Because grace is part of God's character and nature. So there are angels of grace. I've been ministered to by them, so I know that they're here. There's angels of wisdom. Wisdom is part of the nature of God, but he's also created angels to serve us in wisdom. There's spirits of knowledge. There's spirits of understanding. There's spirits of faith. There's spirits of love, you know, angels of love. And they minister all those different aspects of his nature. When the devil was cast out of heaven and all the angels with him fell, those angels never lost their created way, but they just didn't serve holy purposes anymore, but evil purposes. So like if there was an angel of, let's say, faith, then it would be an angel of unbelief, a demon of unbelief, when it fell, because it would be the opposite, right? If it was an angel of holiness, then when it fell, it could be uncleanness, or, you know. So we know that there's spirits of unbelief and spirits of uncleanness and all that within the scripture. Well, before they fell, they were something else. So. Okay, and how do you know which angels are in your midst? Through the discerning of spirits. We'll talk about that later. General facts. Angels were created before the earth was, and they are created beings, and God created them. They are not to be worshipped. They are innumerable. The Bible says they're innumerable. We don't know how many there are. The Bible doesn't tell us. There are more than we can count. And they are subject to God. They are subject to God. And they're only subject to us when we are subject to God. So it's not like you can just tell an angel what to do out of your own soul. They are subject to God. That's why they believe, they obey the voice of his word, the voice of his commands. So you can be the voice for God and therefore dispatch the angels, but they're not just at your bidding. If you operate in your carnal flesh and you say, oh, go out and do this, or go out and do that, they're not for you. They're subject to God, but they'll be subject to you when you are subject to God. Does that make sense? Because they're there to serve you. The works of angels, and there's numerous. I've got 18 of them down there. That's not an exhaustive list, but some, they bring answers to prayer. They minister to believers. They worship God. They carry out God's orders. They wage warfare. They watch over children. They strengthen people during trials. They lead sinners to gospel workers. They direct preachers. They appear in dreams. They minister before God. They protect believers from harm. They guard the abyss. They watch over the interests of churches. They affect the affairs of nations. They do extraordinary acts. They bring God's people special messages, and they punish God's enemies. They bring in the harvest, too. I mean, there's lots of other things that they do. The nature of angels, they are intelligent and wise, and all the scriptures that confirm these points are in your notes. We don't have time to go through each of them, so I would highly recommend you look up these scriptures later. They're patient. They're meek. They're joyful. In fact, they laugh. I've heard them laugh. They're modest. They're holy. They're glorious. They're immortal. They're mighty and powerful. They're obedient. They have wills. Sometimes I've heard people say angels don't have wills. Well, of course they have wills. Lucifer definitely had a will. He chose to disobey God. So they do have wills. They're referred to in most cases as male. Now, this is a little bit of a controversy right now because there are people seeing female appearing angels. Now, in the Bible, we're taught that angels don't have gender. They're genderless. Jesus taught that. He says, well, in the regeneration, it's not going to be like, you know, men will be like the angels. They don't have gender, okay? So in that way, they're not gender. So you can't actually call an angel a male or a female in that sense. But some of them appear male and some of them appear female. Some of them appear like lions. Some of them appear like eagles. They have different appearances. But they're not male or female per se. They're angels, so they're genderless. They're not like us, and they don't reproduce like us and stuff like that. They're because they're spirits. So there's been people that are very disturbed about the fact that some people have seen. There's an angel that seems to appear quite a bit these days, although I haven't heard much the last 6 months or so. But before that, the angel Emma seemed to be appearing a lot, and. In I think it's in Hebrew, that word refers to wisdom. And some people believe that Emma is an angel of wisdom. But the people who have seen Emma, they all see the exact same form. Exactly the same form, even when they haven't heard the other people who have seen her. They know the name, and she's female form, and her appearance, they all describe her to look the same. I myself have seen a female angel, and I have a feeling it might be Emma just because of the story around it. I do know that it was the spirit of wisdom. That's what the Lord told me. I didn't hear anything about Emma or anything, but the Lord showed me that this was an angel of wisdom. And it wasn't a female type form. It was a female personality form. Like it was gentle like a woman. It looked like a woman. But it was an angel, very pure, emanating the presence of God. And so there's a lot of controversy about that, but the way that I look at it is, number one, angels are given no gender within the scripture, so it would be just as wrong, I guess, to call an angel a he than a she or whatever. You just use it because they appear in like certain things. So that's one point. The other thing is we know that there's evil spirits that appear like female form. We talk about Jezebel. And out of Zechariah, you'll see that there is a woman there that was an angel type, but it was an evil entity, but it's definitely a woman form. Well, a demon power doesn't change its makeup, its created form, once it falls. It just goes evil, but it's still got the same created form. You understand that? Like, the devil can't create anything. So whatever way God created them, whether they're fallen or not, they're still the same created form. So if there's an evil, female-looking demon, then before it fell, it was obviously a female-looking angel. That's the way I look at it. So I don't have a problem. God's ways are past finding out. I'm never surprised when I hear God doing something or seeing something that's a little bit strange. You just look in the scripture and ask God for the insight. And when I asked him for the insight, that's what he gave me. So in most cases, they're referred to as male figures and forms, but there's the reference in Zechariah 5:5-9 about the female spirit that you'll see there. Also, when you think of Jezebel. And then also, if you read the book of Proverbs where it talks about wisdom, it talks about her as a woman. But we know that Jesus has been made wisdom unto us. But there are also angels of wisdom, we know, because it talks about spirits of wisdom, spirit of wisdom, and in Proverbs talking about wisdom like in a female form. So I think if you add all that together, you can probably confirm the fact that if you know, a female-looking angel shows up, well then, we don't need to be too alarmed. I think that there's enough confirmation within the scripture. A lot of angels that I've actually seen in open vision, and this isn't all of them, but some of them look like men, but they have no facial hair, and they have softness like a woman. And yet, you kind of sense they're male-looking, but not quite, you know? So, okay. They have spirit bodies with limbs, eyes, voice, etc. They need no rest. They eat food. They can appear visible and invisible. They can operate in the physical realm. They can travel at inconceivable speed. They can ascend and descend, and they can speak languages. There's lots of evidence in the Bible as far as men interacting with angels. People have said, well, are you allowed to have interaction? Well, yeah. I mean, we're all part of the same kingdom, right? The moment you're born again, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to wait till you take your last breath in the earth to be part of the kingdom of heaven. You're a part of the kingdom of heaven now. And so the angels that are with you in the earth now, or if you're with them in heaven, it's just all part of the kingdom you belong to. You shouldn't be shocked, you know, if there's an appearance of an angel or Holy Spirit, show me where I can go here. The kingdom of heaven is made up of entities. It's made up of the Godhead, is angels, living creatures, the great cloud of witnesses, the spirits of the righteous made perfect. This is all Bible. Hebrews 12 will spell it all out for you. This is what you have now come to. So it shouldn't surprise us. We are not of this world. We have eternal life, which means beginning or end, you know. Even those that have gone on before us, you know, they're not dead. They never did die. Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. They're very much alive, right? And we're alive with all the hosts of heaven. We are now part of the kingdom of God. Now we are. You know, you can't separate your life into, well, this is my mundane life and this is my eternal life. And no, you're in eternal life now. You're living within the realm of time inside of this physical body. But you are an eternal being. You already have been given eternal life. So angels are just part of this kingdom that we have so gloriously been invited into and born into. And so also are all the other beings in heaven. We're just all one. So if, you know, we can interact with angels and, okay, eating angels' food. We see evidence of that in Psalm 78, the manna coming from heaven. Angels led Abraham's servant. Moses and the burning bush, there was angelic visitation there. Gideon in Judges 6. Elijah was fed and strengthened in 1 Kings 19 by an angel. David at the time of census was visited by an angel. Zechariah in Zechariah 1. In fact, the whole book of Zechariah was given to Zechariah by an angel. Philip, Acts 8, 28. Cornelius in Acts 10. Peter in Acts 12. And Herod in Acts 12. Paul in Acts 27. John in Revelation 2 and 3. And so angels have interacted with man in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and continue to interact with man today. And so if God sends them and they're there, you know, people have said, well, is it okay to talk to an angel? Well, all through the Bible, you'll see people talking to angels. You don't worship them, but there is communication that goes back and forth. And I think that it's just been strange to us because we've been a non-spiritual church. So when we hear about angels and woo-hoo, woo-hoo, they're talking to us, oh no, that couldn't possibly be good. It should be normal because it's normal in the Bible, you know? They had it was so normal in the Bible that when Peter got released out of prison and went to the prayer meeting, he said, "Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door." No, it couldn't possibly be. It's just his angel. Because they were used to seeing the angel of the person that looked like them. I've seen my angel. It looks like me. It even has spiky hair like mine. It has the same color hair. It's a bit taller than I am, and it's a bit leaner than I am. But it is. It looks like me. I thought it was. I thought, "Are you me?" You know, and it's an angel. That's what happened in Peter's day. That's why they said, "Oh, it's just his angel." They were used to seeing the angels. We're not used to it today because we closed our heart to the supernatural and got inside of our head. Constantine was a gentleman that kind of nurtured that on a little bit and opened the door. But God's inviting us into this heavenly dimension, this kingdom life. Now, I want to share a little bit about discerning the angels. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of the discerning of spirits. It's not the gift of discernment. It's the gift of the discerning of spirits. Spirits are unseen entities. God is a spirit. When you operate in the gift of the discerning of spirits, you can discern his presence. How many of you have met someone and you knew that they were a Christian because you discerned the Spirit of Christ in them? See, you all have this gift in you. This gift is inherent in the Holy Spirit who is in you. Every single believer has the gift of the discerning of spirits. You just have to cultivate it and use it. But all of you can probably sense and discern the Spirit of God when you're in a worship service and you can feel the Spirit of God coming in and you think, "Whoa, the Spirit of God's here." It's because you're discerning his presence. It's a gift of the discernment. So God is a spirit. You have a spirit. You can discern sometimes if something, some work that's going on or some activity, if it's the Spirit of God, the spirit of a demon spirit or an angel or the natural spirit in a person, just their natural nature inside. You've got that discernment. You can tell the difference. Angels are spirits. Demons are spirits. And with the gift of the discerning of spirits, which you all have, you can discern and ascertain the identity of those spirits and their presence. You can use that gift to do that. So you can tell who these entities are. All of you have it. And I want you to believe it because the Word says so. They're all inherent in the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, you're thinking, "What? Every believer has that? I just thought certain ones." Every believer has that. In your spirit man, where the Holy Spirit dwells, this gift is in him, it's in you, and it's so that you will always be able to discern his presence, discern the angels, discern the demons, discern the natural spirit of man. You know, sometimes when you're out in spiritual encounter, you'll meet another believer out there. I've had people tell me that I was out, in a God encounter, and I saw you. I thought, "Wow, cool. I was asleep. I didn't know I was there." But you can discern. I'm not an angel. I'm me. Okay? So there's a difference. Some people think I'm an angel. I'm just kidding. Okay, so you have this gift. Now, I'm going to help you cultivate this gift and help you discern angels because I'm going to show you what happened to me. I had studied about the gift of the discerning of spirits, but I never thought about discerning angels. And I was in Australia with Sue Mitchell, who's a prophetess a number of years ago, and we were speaking at the same conference and staying at the same hotel, so we were driven back and forth to the meeting hall in the same vehicle. And as we were driving, every day she would pass by and say, "Wow, did you see that angel?" And I never saw anything. And I thought, "No, I didn't see that. What was it?" And she'd explain it to me, and I thought, "Wow." Well, after this happened for a few days, I said to her, "Do you see angels all the time?" She said, "Oh, yeah, don't you?" And I said, "No. Like, I've seen a couple of angels. I'd had a couple of angelic visitations where I saw them with open vision. But I said, "No, I don't see angels all the time." And she says, "Well, you can." I said, "Really?" She said, "Well, everybody can." You were made for this. Like, you were made to see into the realm of the spirit. And it had never dawned on me until that time that I could do it. But I grabbed hold of it. I said, okay, I want it. I said, look, I want you to pray for an impartation for me. She said, okay. Before the end of the conference, I'll do it. So I waited throughout the whole conference just waiting for her, you know, because I thought it was going to be a zapper. Ooh, oh, good. Now I can see them, right? It doesn't work like that. It's all by faith. So anyways, I waited and she never prayed. And we were finally at the last meeting, we all went out for something to eat afterwards. And we had this little room in a restaurant that we were all in. I don't know, I got drunk in the Holy Spirit and I was reading out of Ezekiel 1 where it talked about the cherubim. And I realized that those cherubim walked in the spirit of unity. I thought, these guys are totally united. They move. When one moves, they all move in the same direction. And I got, I don't know, I just got this heavy revy on it. And I stood up on my chair because I was drunk in the restaurant. I stand up on my chair and I start preaching. I said, listen to this, you know. And as I'm preaching, I look over to her and everyone's kind of drunk. We're all kind of like, woohoo, you know. And there's around, I don't know, 12, 15 of us around the table. And I look over to where Sue was sitting at the head of the table and I saw this like white light over the top of her, and I knew it was an angel. I could kind of see like the juts of the light going out, just like wings would go out. And I thought, Sue, I see an angel on you. And she jumped, she says, I know, I felt it. I thought, oh my gosh, I saw it, you know. And so I was all excited, and then all of a sudden the glory came into the room and everyone's going, woo, you know, and the waitress came into the room and I'm standing up there on the seat and everyone's going, woo, 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 you know. And so the waitress was freaked, and this woman that was with us, who's a very dignified woman and very, very elegant and everything, she tries to help the waitress understand, and she says, oh, it's okay, we're just seeing angels. And she just saw an angel over there, and the waitress, that freaked her out more. But anyway, so then she left after, I don't know if she got her order or what, but she left. And then I look over in the corner, and I see this green pulsating light. I said, oh my gosh, I see a green pulsating light. And Sue says, yes, that's right, that's an angel. And it's here to bring renewal and healing. And if anyone wants that, just go stand over where that angel is. So we all jumped out of our seats and we're all huddled up, okay. And the waitress came back in. And the very elegant, dignified lady said, there's a green angel over there. So anyways, to make the long story short, we got kicked out of the cafe. It was getting late and they told us that it was now closed. You might have to go. So I think that was around 1 o'clock or something in the morning when we had the invitation to leave the restaurant. And Sue had to get on the plane. She had to leave the hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the airport for her next engagement. So I said, Sue, you can't leave. This whole thing's been opened up. You've got to teach us how to see these angels. We want to see the angels. So we're all going up to your room and we're going to stay there until we see them, you know? So we all piled into her room and we're sitting on her lap and her bed and everywhere else, you know, we're all crowded. Okay, teach us everything that you know about angels. And some keys that she gave me was this. She said, well, first of all, you have to believe that they are. She said, you don't have to hope that there's an angel around here. There are angels here already. You have to believe that they are. It's the same with God. First, you know, he who comes to him must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says, well, the word says that there are angels encamped around us, so they're here. So that's the first thing, is just believe that they're here. Secondly, believe that you can see them. You were made to see them. The eyes of your understanding can be opened to see them. And she said, so just ask the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will show you. Ask the Holy Spirit. So I just closed my eyes and said, okay, Holy Spirit, where is there an angel? And I realized that he taught me how to discern the angels in the same way he taught me how to prophesy and everything else. It was all just as simple as being led by him. It was the exact same as every other gift. I thought, of course, why would it be any different? And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, where's, because she asked us, okay, well, ask him, where's the angel in the room? I said, okay, Holy Spirit, where, you know, where's the angel? And he would tell me, I didn't see it at first, he would just tell me. He said, over in that right-hand corner over there, there's an angel. And I looked in the corner, and I didn't see anything with my natural eyes. I said, oh, Holy Spirit, I didn't see anything. And then he, all of a sudden, in my thoughts, told me what the angel was and what it looked like. Now I've got the discernment. So I just said, because she's helping us learn, I just said, well, there's an angel over in that corner. I just said exactly what he put in my thoughts. I didn't see it with my eyes, but I just, there's an angel over there, and, you know, it's got this yellow light on it, and it's there to minister faith. And she said, exactly, exactly. I thought, wow, you know? And so we just went from there, and then I went home and I practiced every day. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that there's an angel here. Just show me. Show me where it is. Tell me all about it. And I would just wait on him like I did for everything else. Just leaned onto him. And whatever, whoa, did you see that? Did you see that big light go across there? Wow, that was tangible. That was like big. There was an angel just went by over there. Sometimes your natural eyes can be open to see it. And other times you just know it because he's opened your understanding to it. But what I did is I started to use language that says, okay, I see. Because I realized when we say I see, we think natural vision. But in Ephesians, it says the eyes of your understanding. I think. Okay, just a minute. I think that was a camera, was it? Was it someone's camera back there? Yeah, it was a camera. Whoa. But scripture says the eyes of our understanding. It's the understanding is open. Do you get that? Eyes of your understanding. So I started getting understanding from the Holy Spirit. He'd put in my thoughts, there's an angel over here. This is what it's there for. It's right there. So what I started doing was closing my eyes, waiting on Holy Spirit, and then taking note of what he said. And then I would open my natural eyes, look into the corner, and or the place or wherever it was he told me it was. And then I would speak out loud, okay, there is an 8-foot angel there, and it's wearing this, and it's doing that, and it's here for this purpose. And then I would just practice responding to what he had told me. And I would choose to see out of my spirit with my eyes open, because he told me what it looked like. He would tell me what color, and then I'd go and inquire more. Well, what else can you show me? What does it have on its feet? I don't understand that. And why is it putting the sword up like that? Or why is it doing what it's doing? And I would just inquire of the Lord and work with the Holy Spirit in that way. And I'd end up getting seasoned. Well, I wasn't seeing anything as far as light flashes or visions or anything. I was just, the eyes of my understanding were being opened, and I was responding and believing everything he told me. I believed him. I said, okay, well, and I want to welcome you, you angel. If you're here to obey the word, here's some word for you to go and obey. And I would just start to respond like that, out of faith. Didn't see anything, didn't feel anything, didn't feel any winds, no fire, nothing. Just raw faith, believing in what the Holy Spirit told me. The more I did that, the more I started to have things happen when I wasn't even looking for them. You know, I'd see the lights, and I'd see the shimmering things, and, you know, hear the voices, and all of a sudden get the faint impressions and stuff like that. And it started to grow and grow and grow. But I anchored my confidence not in what I could see with my natural vision or not see, not what I could feel or not feel with my natural senses. I anchored my confidence in what I was receiving from the person of the Holy Spirit, and I chose to believe everything he told me. And that's how I got seasoned. And now I can sense when there's angelic activity, and I know what to do if I want to know more. all I have, I don't have to go in my head and think, oh, I wonder what's happening. I just have to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what's going on here right now? And he'll tell me every time. He'll tell me every time. It is as easy as that. See, it's not just some big mystical bubble that you have on the top of your head. It's just like knowing him. It's all about knowing him. And he gives you everything that you need. And so right now, I want to activate you. And if you're watching my DVD, I want to activate you. Just close your eyes and draw on the Holy Spirit's wisdom, his understanding. Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you for giving us this gift of discernment. You are our teacher and you are our guide, and you're going to show us where there's angels in this room. You're going to show us. You're going to open the eyes of our understanding and tell us. And so we just wait on you to hear from you. So what I want you to do is wait on him to tell you where there's an angel and where it is and what it's doing. What does it look like? Just ask him. He's the one who knows. And take note of what he's telling you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, when you sense that you have received the insight, then I want you to look in the room at where he showed you that angel is, and open up your eyes and see if you can take what he's shown you in here and see it there, or see it wherever he's shown it to you. But you see it through your understanding. You don't see it necessarily with your open vision. But now look in the area of the room and take every detail of what he showed you and perceive it as to where he showed you it was. I hope that makes sense. This is just spiritual exercise, following Holy Spirit. Okay, now the next thing I want you to do is get in twos, and tell the person next to you, because what's really powerful is when you take it just out of here and you start sharing it. And I want you to point to where you saw the angel. Like, for instance, there's an angel that's standing in the middle of the room here, and its head is all the way to the top. And it's got a sword in a sheath, and its hand is over the sheath. You know, and just point it out and tell them what it looks like. Tell them where it's standing. Show them what it's doing. Tell them what it's doing. Because when you start communicating it, it further operates that gift on the inside of you. So get into twos and share with each other what you have seen. Okay. You can continue to share with each other. And also, some of you might want to draw the picture of your angel and draw out what you saw. Make inquiry of the Lord for more information. Say, teach me more about this. Does it have a name? Does it, you know, is it with me for now? And when God actually assigns an angel to you, that angel is yours for life. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And so when he gives you like a personal angel that's yours, the angels that he's given our ministry over the years are with us. They've been with us for years and they'll never leave because they're assigned to us. And so when he assigns an angel to you, it's your angel. Joshua Mills has a number of angels. Todd has a number of angels, and they're with them, and they show up in the meetings to help them minister and minister the signs and wonders and things like that. So more angels is better. And have a whole company around you. I mean, if you love them and if you desire God to bless you, he gives us the desires of our heart. So it's like, if we, you know, are given a gift by God, let's be good stewards of it, and let's direct our attention and focus to him in that way, and he will give increase. We're going to take a break now.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.